Morales going through on the base has a list of various sources that are connected with the topic of Yeshem Lamikra, Yeshem Lamaser. We discussed a little bit last week. When you have a conflict, when you have a Kriya Niksiv, the Tosafot says, I'm Dalet Amud Aleph, whenever possible, you should try to figure out the Psak Halacha in such a way that you should blend in the Halacha from the Kriya and the Halacha from the Niksiv together. What if you cannot blend in both together? It's either one or the other. So that's the Machlokes HaTanaim. The Gemara says that Kriya Niksiv is Halacha Moshe Niksiv. Amud Aleph, going through Amud Beis, has a list of various sources that are connected with the topic of Yeshem Lamikra, Yeshem Lamaser. We discussed a little bit last week. When you have a conflict, when you have a Kriya Niksiv, the Tosafot says, I'm Dalet Amud Aleph, whenever possible, you should try to figure out the Psak Halacha in such a way that you should blend in the Halacha from the Kriya and the Halacha from the Niksiv together. What if you cannot blend in both together? It's either one or the other. So that's the Machlokes HaTanaim. The Gemara says that Kriya Niksiv is Halacha Moshe Sinai. The Radak writes in one place, in his Biur HaNavi, that Kriya Niksiv represents the fact that when Ezra was putting together the Kisei HaKodesh, he had two traditions as to what the text should be. So he made a compromise, that he put one as the Ksiv and one as the Kriya. That's not what it says in the Gemara. The Radak was a Rebbe who taught Gemara. That's what he did by possession. But that comment that he makes against the Gemara. The Gemara says in the Dorm Dach Lama Ches, the Kriya Ksiv is Halacha Moshe Messina. The Kriya Ksiv from Chamisha from Shetair. And the Kriya Ksiv from the Vim Ksuv is not Halacha Moshe Messina, but it's the author who wrote that state of the Roch HaKodesh had two versions of it. He wanted one to be the Ksiv and one to be the Kriya. And they're two different Kabbalahs. So the Shaila is when you have a conflict between the Kriya and the Ksiv, which one do you take to Halacha Lamaise and which is the other one which is coming to tell you some esoteric kavanah? So that's the Machlokes HaTanaim. You say Yeshem LaMikra, Ika Halacha LaMaise, the bottom line is the Kriya. Or you say Yeshem LaMaseres, the bottom line is the Ksiv, the Masoretic text. So the Gemara gave various cases where this issue comes up. So one of the cases that the Gemara discussed the possibility of an issue of Yeshem LaMikra, Yeshem LaMaseres was regarding Lo Sevash Al Gedi B'Chalei B'Moy. That we know that the prohibition refers to Basa B'Cholot, that you're not allowed to say the Nisarach Bishol, and there's a Nisarach Chidah, and there's a Nisarach Hanoah, and Basa B'Cholot. Basa B'Cholot, hey, so you're not allowed to have flesh with milk together. So the Gemara raises the possibility, Tanoim raised the possibility, maybe that's the Kriya. Lo Sevash Al Gedi B'Chalei B'Moy means B'Cholot Shel. If you have the word cholov and make it into smicha, so it's bachalev. Maybe you should say that's the kri, but the ksiv, beis ches lamed beis, can read b'chelov imon. There's no kri of ksiv though, that's the Gemara. There's no, it's not written differently from the way it's pronounced. That's the ksiv and that's the kri. So the Gemara says that's not an issue of kri of ksiv, that's what the Gemara first said. But first the Gemara raised such a possibility. Maybe ekrani, maybe I should say that the cooked flesh with milk is mutter. The prohibition only applies against cooking flesh with chaylev. So the Gemara says, no, you say Yeshem LaMikra. And the Kriya is Bahalei Liman. That's on the bottom line. I'm Dalet going over to Amadeus. Bahalei Liman, no, Yochel, the chaylev. So the Gemara says, no, I'm at Yeshem LaMikra. We follow the Kriya. So the Gemara later on the daf says, no, maybe keep Ligeh, the Shem, got 10 lines from the bottom. The Gemara suggests maybe keep pligi hechad the shani kromi maser. Then there's a kriya ksiva and there's a conflict. Here there's no conflict. That's the way you spell the word. Whether you read it b'chalev or b'chelev, it's the same spelling. So that's not called the kriya ksiva. So the Gemara says that has nothing. That's not involved in the machloek. Then the Gemara says, aye, but maybe if this, maybe yeah, we're not so convinced. So the Gemara finally says, elo, three lines from the bottom. Maybe you should even bring up the issue of Yashem LaMikra, Yashem LaMaseres, even in the case where there's no Kriya Ksiv. Even when there's no conflict between the Kriya and the Ksiv, you don't have Halacha Moshe Sinai. That is written differently from the way it's pronounced. The Gemara says, Hello, Amarabach, Beit Ravike, Omakro, we have a different way to prove that the prohibition refers to cooking flesh with milk. It cannot refer to cooking flesh with chaylev. Because, Lasavash Al Gidi, Deach Bishol Asvetayro. And if you're going to cook flesh with chaylev, that's not derech bishul. What does that mean? So it's obvious in the context of the pasuk that it's talking about cholov and it's not talking about chaylev. How do you see from the context what it means derech bishul osater? So Tosafot has two pshatim. The first pshat Tosafot says same as Rashi, that if you're cooking flesh and milk, that's bishul. If you're cooking flesh with chelev, that means that you're frying it. So that's tigun. That's tigun. So you can't really use the verb like sevashel. The Torah should have really used a different verb, namely tigun, or some other kind of a verb. So the fact that it says lo sevashel, that verb is chosen, that's a giveaway, that's a dead giveaway, that is referring to basa b'cholov, not basa b'chelev. Then Taisus has another pshat, the bottom Taisus has another suggestion. Yesh Mefarshim, the fourth line of Taisus, Derech Bishul. Yesh Mefarshim, Derech Bishul Lasset Torah doesn't mean Bishul versus Tigun. Tigun is also Bishul. If you have raw food and you make it edible by cooking it, so Tigun is Mechal Bishul, that's in the Mishnah in the Dharm. Hanoidim and Amavushal, a person takes a net not to eat any food that's, he's not going to eat any cooked flesh. And someone fries some flesh. Not eat the fried flesh because it's not included. So now, so tigun is bechalal bishul also. So you're going to say it's only for lashem aliyadam. The nedarim halacha for lashem aliyadam. Lashem aliyadam doesn't necessarily have to tarstan the biblical Hebrew for lashem atarach. You're going to say lashem atarach is not so. Shvererei, shverevok. If it says bishul, it should include tigun also. What's the hechrach that the word ches lamed beis over here means chalav but not chela because it should have said tigun. What's wrong with bishul, even if you're frying it? So that's what prompts the Bali Ates to say, Yesh Mefarsh Noch Abshah. No, Derech Bishul Lasset Torah, the Mashmoyes of the Parsha is that the Cholov, that the two components are, the Gemara says, Basa B'Cholov is Chiddush. Why is the Chiddush? Said, this is Hefer and this is Hefer, and only when you cook them together, they become Yisr. That's how the Gemara starts off. Then the Gemara backs out, because the Gemara says that the Shatnas is also like that, that Semer alone is Mutter and Pishtam alone is Mutter, and you join the two together, then it becomes shatnas, then it becomes us. That's not such a earth-shattering chiddush. Chiddush means davar asayis haklal. It's an exception to the rule. So Gemara says, not such an exception to the rule, but it has a parallel by shatnas as well. But at least the Gemara understood, whether it is a chiddush, not a chiddush, but the Gemara understood the idea behind basa b'cholav is that the basa alone is muta, the cholav alone is muta, when you combine them, it's us. The Taisa says, but over here, if you're going to tell me that the word should really be understood by Sarasha, the chaylev means the chaylev is the chalamot tzvei. The chaylev means the fact that you're not allowed to eat. So that's not derech bishul or seter. It's not that it's prohibited because you cook the two together. Even before you cook the chaylev with the flesh, the chaylev is also anyway. So that's proof, that's the conclusive proof that the pasuk must be referring to basa b'cholav, not basa b'chaylev. So those are the two shots in that Taisa says. Cooking is easy. But we know that it includes three prohibitions, the cooking with the eating with the hanoeh. So what do you need a separate Easter, what do you need an additional Easter for the eating of that anyway? That was the second shot in person. So on this Gemara, there's a famous discussion in the back of the Gemara, they have the Maharam Shik, the Maharam Shik has a little bit of this. And then in Yeridei, in Hilchos Basa B'Cholov, they have a serious discussion. We know that there's basa b'cholav derais and there's basa b'cholav derabbanan. Take for example, chicken and milk. We're tasking is only derabbanan. If you have chicken with milk, it's only derabbanan. Well, let's say you have flesh with milk, but it wasn't cooked together. You have a sandwich, so I shmir on butter, and I have a salami sandwich with butter. So that's only basa b'cholav derabbanan. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rambam, that basa b'cholav derabbanan is only asur b'achila. It's muta b'dishul, and it's muta b'hanoah. Let's say someone is a cook, a chef in a restaurant, and they want him to fry, to cook chicken with butter. So it's permissible if the Yiddish customers are shaharit and lefnei, they say the mikshul. Let's say not Yiddish customers, Goyish customers is in the army. And so Reichik told us a story. He once had a person in the army, his job was he had a cook in the kitchen. So to cook chicken with milk, with butter, is muta, but to cook flesh with milk, is an Issa Derais, even though you're not going to eat it, even though the Goyim are going to eat it. Bishol, Basa B'chalav is a separate Issa. Basa B'chalav Derais is also the Bishol, is also the Achila, is also the Anah. Basa B'chalav D'Abonon is only also the Achila. It's Muta the Bishol, and it's Muta the Anah. So what would the din be by Tigun? Let's say they didn't cook flesh with milk, they fried flesh with butter. Frying flesh with butter. Is that an Issa Bishol, is that an Issa Derais, or is that an Issa D'Abonon? So some Achrayim want to say that since it says in the Chumash Lo Sevashel, Derech Bishul Lo Soteres, so if you do Tigun, it's only the Rabbanan. And they base it on this Rashi and Taisus on our Daf. The Rashi in the first Pshat and Taisus on the bottom of Dalet and the basis. The Gemara said, how do you know that how can you tell from the context of the Pasuk itself that Basa B'Cholov is an Isaran milk, cholov, maybe it's basa b'chelev. So Gemara says, no, how can it be chelev? If it's chelev, then it's not loisav ashel, then it's going to be tikkun, and it doesn't say that. So the mashmos of the Gemara is, and only derech bishul lo satara, the only time that it's in Nisa derais is bishul, and tikkun is not included. Tikkun is only the rabbah. That's what some achrenim want to say. The other achrenim say, no, that's not what it means. The Gemara meant to say like this, if the pasuk in Chumash, if the original pasuk in Chumash is talking about basar b'chelev, the chelev, you don't cook flesh and chelev, you fry flesh and chelev. So the verb bishul shouldn't have been used, it should have said tigun, should have used a different verb. So the fact that it says lo sevashel, that verb was chosen, so that's a conclusive proof that you're talking about basar b'chelev. But once you know that there is an iser of basar b'chelev, then tigun is b'chelev bishul. So if you'll have flesh and butter, and you fry it together, it'll also be an iser derais. It's more just meant to say, if you're telling me that there's no iser basa b'cholov, the whole iser only is basa b'cholov, so every single case of basa b'cholov is going to be tigun. So then you're using the wrong verb. But if you're talking about basa b'cholov, 90% of the cases you're going to have bishul, and 10% of the cases is going to be tigun. So tigun is also b'cholov bishul, like anoide b'anam avushul, is also b'metugun. The tigun is included in bishul. That's a machlokes achrei, whether basa b'cholov, derech tigun, constitutes basa b'chalav derai, so it's only basa b'chalav derai, but with an afkamina la'alacha, whether it's muta b'bishul or muta b'hanoah, or not, we are most assumed that it's an isa derai. The Mamshif has it over here with a sniff, with other tzedadim, that somebody fried liver, I think they fried liver with butter, so he has different tzedadim l'hakal over here. So one tzad l'hakal is that it's tigun, so it's only the rabbanon, so it's muta b'hanoah. Another tzad l'hakal he has is that it was liver. And liver, Taisus writes in Kolabasa that Taisus writes a lashon in a different context. They're not talking about basa b'chol. Taisus has a lashon that the kaved is kula dam. The liver is full of dam. Kula dam. So he says kula dam. So it's not flesh. So it's not flesh. And there's no basa b'chol of their eyes. But liver makes it flesh. Exactly the rabbanon. Liver is only flesh from the rabbanon. Achidish. So the achrayin and pilpul, whether the two svaris, even the combination of two svaris together, maybe each one is so shvach, maybe even both together is not enough to rely on. To say that it's only bas b'chalav d'abonim. Tigun on the liver. The pashtus is bas b'chalav d'arais. The tigun is d'arais, and the pashtus is that liver is also bas b'chalav d'arais. Anyway, that's one side topic that poskim have a whole discussion on this. And the tigun, and the bas b'chalav d'arais tigun. Then the Gemara had another braisa, about 8 lines from the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara quoted also. The Gemara quoted originally also has to do with Yeshem Lamikri, Yeshem Lamasurus, but it's an example like Bishul Basa B'cholov, where there's no kriyoksiv. It's the correct spelling. There's nothing strange about the way it's spelled. The Shalos Panashani Rakos Zechuchas Pnei Ha'adan Hashem. So 3 times it says, Yeh Pani Bazar. So the pasuk says Yeira'eh. Yeira'eh means that we should appear in the presence of the Shekhinah, and the Ribbono Shel Olam should be able to look at us. So the Gemara darshins is as if you have a Korean exiv, Yeira'eh, that we come to the Azara to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeira'eh, and also Yeira'eh, we come to see. Yeira'eh, Pnei Ha'adan Hashem. We come to see the Shekhinah. And you darshin both the Korean exiv together, and you make a hekesh. Yeira'eh, what's the hekesh? The same way we come to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he comes to see us with his both eyes. Kivayachol, the Banshom doesn't have any body, doesn't have any eyes, but Kivayachol, the Banshom takes a good look at us, he sees everything. So just like the Shekhinah looks at us with the both eyes, so too when we come to see the Shekhinah, we come to see the Shekhinah also with our both eyes, and this leads one to believe the din of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamer, that Asuma the Achas Me'enov, is part of Minhariya. If a person is blind on one eye, he's parted from being Oyla Rego, he's parted from visiting the Azar and Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, that's called the Mitzvah of Riyas Panim Ba'Azara, because the Darsh and the Korean Exiv together, Yeira'eh. So the Gemara says, what do you mean a Korean Exiv? There is no Korean Exiv, that's the correct spelling. The Gemara says, you see, that right there, that even though there's no Korean Exiv over there, there's nothing unusual about the way it's written, still you treat it like a Mikra and a Masoret, and you Darsh and a Din, you come up with a Din, you blend in together the Mikra and the Masoret. So this din in the Gemara, what does it mean, Taki? Kederach Shabbo, the same way the Shekhinah comes to see us with the both eyes of the Shekhinah, so too we come to see the Shekhinah with our both eyes. And what are we going to see? We're going to see the Shekhinah.
What do we see when we come to the Azor on Pesach Shavuos? We see a beautiful Beis HaMikdash. Where do you see the Shechinah? So there is a Gemara in the last daf in the Chagiga, I think it is. The Gemara says that on Shavuos Regalim, when the early Regalim used to come to the Beis HaMikdash, used to roll up during the period of the Bais Rishon, used to roll up the Paroiches, and used to show Ruchi Bastam Lefnei Hamok, used to show Bnei Israel how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, that the two Kruvim were hugging each other, as the Pasuk says, Livayam Kimarish Vilav Yosef, like a husband hugs his wife, Kimarish Vilav Yosef. That one of the Kruvim represents the Rabbanish one, the other one of the Kruvim represents Knesset Yisrael. So the two Kruvim are hugging is Ruchi Bastam Lefnei Hamok. So where did they get, the Gemara says, how could they roll up the Parechas in Bais Rishon? It was a big wall. How could they roll up the Bais Sheni? Was a curtain. Bais Rishon was a wall. How'd they roll it up? So the Gemara says there was a wall, but like over here, there's a door, but there were windows in the door. So instead of having glass windows, so there were cloth Parechas. To roll up the little Parechas in the window to show Ruchi Batsim Lefiyama. So the Zechemed prints a letter that he got from a Shlomo Levilna. He was a dying of Vilna. 100 years ago. So he writes in the letter to him, where did they get such an ein farm on the Bais Rishon? The Bais Sheni, the Gemara says, the Kruvim were not there. The whole Oren was not there. The Oren was somewhere else. All discussion where it was, but it wasn't where it's supposed to be. So this practice wasn't as cool as Bais Rishon. So where did they get such an ein farm? It's supposed to roll up the Pareches, to show everybody the Kruvim. The Gemara says there in Yuman, Daf Nun Daled, that there's a pasuk from the end of Parshas Bamidbar, the last pasuk of Vayavaralur, Kivala HaKadosh Vameisu. The Gemara says you're not allowed to look at the Kruvim. And the Gemara says they are not daft, that during the period of the Bais Sheni, one opinion is that the Oren with the Kruvim was in the basement, and a Kohen once went down to the basement to look, and he was punished with Mitzvadei Shamayim, Vayavaralur, Kivala HaKadosh Vameisu. He looked at the Kruvim and he died. The Gemara says, how could they roll up the Pareches? Standard practice, everyone is Shalvash Regard. The Gemara says it depends. When the Kruvim are in Kaimam, where they belong, when the Oren is in Kaimam, when the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then you're allowed to look. When the Oren is Shalod in Kaimai, when they were traveling in the Midbar, the Oren was Shalod in Kaimai, then there was a din. Lo Yavali was Tabalat HaKadosh. If the Oren is in the basement, instead of being upstairs in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then there's an Issa that you're not allowed to look. The Gemara gives us a mashal, a Kala, a girl, when she gets married, so first you have Erisin, and then you have Nisun. When you first have Erisin, when we learn Kiddushim, we learn. When you first have Erisin, the girl is an Eshes Tzir Shaloi Bebeis Hatal. She's still living with her parents. When you have Nisuin, she's changed, and she becomes an Eshes Tzir Bebeis Hatal. So calls Mat, the Arusa Zasu Ala Baila, Edi Rabban. So she doesn't see the husband. The husband lives with his parents, so he's looking, he's getting a job, getting an apartment, whatever. And she's living with her parents. So the Talo Bebeis Oviho, when she's only married, Kiddushim is no Nisuin. So he doesn't look at the Kala. He's not intimate with the Kala. The Kala, after Nisuin, Kala the base Chomiro, after the Nisuin, she moves in with the father-in-law, with the in-laws. That was the practice, the Zmana Talmud, that when the girl would get married, she'd move in with her husband who would remain living in his parents' home. So the Gemara calls it Kala the base Chomiro. After she gets married, she moves in with the in-laws. So Kala Beis Chamir, of course, the husband and the wife are intimate, they're living together then. So that's what the Gemara says, that the relationship between the Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one that's compared to marriage in the Tanakh. But what level of a marriage is it compared to Erisin, or is it compared to Nisuin? So the Gemara seems to say that it depends. When the Kruvim Abim, when the Oren is in Koyma and things are going smoothly, things are going normally, so then it's like Nisuin. Then it's a full relationship. Nothing wrong if you look at the Kruvim. It's like a husband and a wife that are together. So there's no prohibition to be intimate. Hashemi came when the Oren and Shalodim came, either when they took down, in the days of the Midbar, when they took down the whole Mishkan and they're traveling, or in the period of the Bais Sheni that the Oren was in the basement, there was Shalodim from it. But then the Gemara says there was no longer this relationship like Nisuin. It was weaker, it cooled off, there was only like Erisin. So during Erisin, there's an Issa, Loi Valu, Shigalus HaKadoshim. That's what the Gemara says in Yuman Dafnin Dalet. The Mishnah Melech has a long drasha. And his drashas, in Parashas Drachim, he has one long drasha about this. He explains the additional psukim and the vim, and ksuvim, when is the relationship between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael like Erisin, when is it like Nisuin. Equally, how does it say, Bali, they call Ishi, not Bali, since the one is Erisin, what is Nisuin, Agamsa Drosh, and many other psukim he explains based on this. So the Stechemet has this letter from Avshalom Levilna. Where in the world did they get such an Ein Fal? during the period of the Bais Rishayim, that they should roll up the, all right, there's no prohibition, but caliber based chaniyos, madrega like insulin, so there's no Issa. There's no Issa, but there's no mitzvah. Where did they get the idea from that they should roll it up and show everybody Ruchi Basim Lefnei HaMalchut? Or the Gemara says another thing also there in Chagiga. They used to lift up the Shulchan and show the Lechem HaPanim, Lechem HaMalchut, used to squeeze like the women who go to the vegetable stores and they squeeze all the tomatoes, they squeeze all the melons. They used to lift up the Shulchan and squeeze the Lechem HaPanim and to show this Lechem HaPanim is baked on Friday and it sits on the Shulchan for a whole week till Shabbos. And then they take it off, they put on the lechem apanim, and then the kohanim eat it. So one would have thought that it's going to be stale. The lechem apanim is sitting so long, it's going to be stale. So the pasuk says it was lechem kam ki yom yilokhoi. It was fresh bread, it was still soft, and it was still warm. So they used to squeeze the bread to show everybody. Where did they get such an ayin from that they're supposed to squeeze the bread to show everybody? It's one of the nisim. One of the nisim of the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo is only right, that's where they got it from this pasuk. And this drasha is not Yochanan ben Davoy and the Bais Shem. They knew this drasha in the period of the Bais Mishnah. It's stayed Yira Yeroya. So you have to have Yeroya called Bechuch. Everybody has to appear in front of the Shechina. We have to come to see something. How are we going to see the Shechina? The Shechina doesn't have Ein Lo Guf, Ein Lo Masigah Guf. How can you see the Rebbeinu Shlom? But that's why the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash to show some of the Nisim Tadirim. Some of the Nisim that are Keseda going on in the Beis HaMikdash. He used to squeeze the Lechem upon him. He used to show them the Kruvim hugging each other because the oil of Golem are supposed to see something. That's Allah of Yira Yira. There was an Ungarish Godlin that you saw years ago by the name of Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger. He was the son-in-law of Rabbi Hillel Kalamayer, I guess. Still listens to me. So he came up with all kinds of hanhogis that many people follow and some people don't follow. So one of his hanhogis was that on Shabbos Golem, we can't be oil regularly, you can't go to the Makom HaMikdash. We're all tame and you can't bring any kapanis. But he held there's a din of Yira Yira, you have to see. So he would go near the Makom HaMikdash and look at the Karka HaZara. So that's the din of Yira. There's no, we should look. What are we going to see? You don't see any Lechem HaPanim, no one's squeezing any Lechem HaPanim. You don't see any Kruvim HaZara, you should look at the Karka HaZara. I think the story goes that he had glasses. So he had a suffix where the Yoytze, the Riyas Panim, the looking with the glasses, he used to be machmir to take off his glasses. Some people can't see anything without the glasses, but he was machmir, took off the glasses in order to see the Karko Hazar. So many people still have the practice, I don't understand. Many people go to the roof of the Yeshiva Takotel or other places where they can see the floor, where they can see the Karko of the Harabayis, in order to fulfill this Midas Chassid. Shaila and Din, whether it has any significance or not, I say anything, do any kiyum at all. I thought that it was very smart. Very schwer on Hodge. What does that mean? It's no Issa, but I didn't understand that it has any kiyum at all. On this piece of Gemara, on Yira Yeroya, Kederach Shebaliris, Mal Liris Bishtein, just like the Shechina comes to look at us with both eyes, so too we come to see the Shechina with the both eyes, and this is the mock of the Din of Rabbi Ben Tema, Rabbi Ben Davoy, how do you want to say, Rabbi Ben Davoy, that Atzuma Beinu Achas is Potam and Ariya, Rabbi Yechanan Ben Davoy, Rabbi Yechanan Ben Davoy. So there's a kasha that the Drush Sforum quote, the name Rabbi Sol Salanta, and the kasha is that is better than the Terutim that they give. Kasha is a Harif is Dika Kasha. Where does it say that the Shechina looks with both eyes? What does it mean, the Shechina looks with both eyes? So Rabbi Sol Salanta quoted Amed Rishrabe at the end of Shir HaShirim, where it says, Brach Beidid Melech HaLetzvi. Closing passage. So there's a Medrash on that passage that says that the Rabbani Shalom is like a deer. That the deer, when it's away, keeps his both eyes open, so it looks with both eyes. The deer, even when he sleeps, he always keeps one eye open, and he only closes one eye. So too, the Rebbeinu Shlom is always looking at us. When we're out in the Rebbeinu Shlom Makom, when we're doing mitzvahs, he looks with both eyes. When he's angry at us, because we're not out in the Rebbeinu Shlom Makom, he still doesn't close the both eyes, he only closes one eye, but he's still watching a little bit. He's still watching with one eye. That's what it says in the Medrash Rabbah at the end of Shashim. So Rabbi Sol Salanta had a kash. A harif is big akasha, that the Gemara has in one place a discussion in Kiddushin, the first page in Kiddushin, has a discussion among the Tanoim and the Goyim matter, had a whole big day. Sometimes the Tanakh refers to Bnei Israel as Bonim, and sometimes as Avodim. So what is the significance of the Shini Lashon? So some Goyim and some Tanoim felt that his man says, and the Tanoim Sham Makkoim, Nikru Bonim. His man says, and the Tanoim Sham Makkoim, Nikru Avodim. So if one should assume that, half the Tanoim disagree, Machlek the Meir of Yudah, whether this Goy should, the Goy said that time. Shaila whether we accept that or not. So the whole kasha is a harif is the kasha. If you should make all these assumptions, if you should assume that that is correct, then when we are called banim, so mistama der banim is called Ravino, he's called Ov. We are called avodim, so mistama he's called an adon. That's the relationship. An Ov has the banim, and an adon has avodim. So the pasuk happens to say mistama son he works chucha as penei ha adon Hashem. So if the banim is referred to as adon, obviously we are pina b'avodim. So the pasuk, for some strange reason, is talking about the man she'ein ois in the tanish amachum. Knew if it's ain't out of the Tanisha Mokum, so the Bansha Mokum looks with one eye. The other other. So Asimah Bein Achas should be Chai Veriyah. So how does he say, Kederach should just like the Shekhinah comes to look at us with two eyes, that we should look at him with two eyes, other other. If the Pasuk is talking about the Man Shein Eretz and the Tanisha Mokum, so he's only come looking with one eye, so Asimah Bein Achas should be Chai. Atkan the Kasha. That's the Kasha that the Kodan is talking about. So in the European Drush story, they have terutzim. The Bali Musi used to give terutzim on that kasha. The kasha is an interesting kasha. The kasha is more interesting than the kasha. The kasha is more interesting. Okay. It's a big topic. There's a big topic. Yeshem Lemikah, Yeshem Lemser. It appears in many Gemara. We just touched it a little. Okay. Now we'll go back to Inyanim of Sanhedrin. On the last line on Dalit, on the days, the Gemara goes back to our Mesichta. That's one block of parenthetic comments. So now we go back. Tana Rabba, we have it right. The Dina Mammon is repeating the Dina in the Mishnah. However, there is an exception to the rule. If a person is an expert dayan, he knows all the halachas, and he has a lot of practical experience. He was involved in Dinatar many times. A lot of times, he had a person he learned in the yeshivas, and he knows what it says in Shulchan Aruch, but he doesn't have so much experience in Dinei Torah. So that's not a Mumcha L'Rab. Mumcha L'Rab means he taka knows all the dinim, gomer v'sover, he knows the halachas, and he knows how to say yachilik, and he has practical experience. So in such a case, the Braita says, don afili yachidi. We would permit him to paskin without three. How can it be? But didn't we learn out from Sukkim and Chumash? Isn't it a din d'oraisa? The Gemara learned that you have to have a bezna three. So here is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi is a little shver here. Rashi says this brisa is Tana Rabbanan. This brisa goes with the opinion that Menatera Chad Nami Kosher. Gemara had a machlokes on Daf Beis on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph regarding there were two kinds of Dinei Torah. There's Gzeilus v'Chavolus, and there was Hodos v'Chavolus. Just to review, Gzeilus v'Chavolus is the chiv that the Torah imposes upon me. If I steal, or if I damage, or if I beat somebody up, I didn't accept the responsibility to pay. The Torah imposes upon me whether I like it or not. And Hodos Avos means I borrowed money, or I purchased something, and I accepted the obligation. It's a Hischaidus Nidas. Two different types of Chiyuvim Mamon. The Gemara and Odom Nesimtas. We learned in Kiddushin, and the first type of Mamon makes a chilek between Milva HaKsuva Bater, as opposed to Milva She'en HaKsuva Bater. Milva HaKsuva Bater means a debt. Milva doesn't only mean a halva. Milva means an obligation, a chayv mamon, which the Torah imposes upon me. And even if I'm not interested in paying pidyon haben, it's a milva k'suva b'Torah. Chayvo, mazik, gazlon, this is all milva k'suva b'Torah. Then you have milva she'en k'suva b'Torah. It didn't have to. It is written in the Chumash, but Tosfos says, even if it weren't written in the Chumash, I would have known on my own that he's obligated to pay. He accepted the obligation willingly. The Meha Mekach, he purchases something and he agrees to pay for it, or he borrows money, so obviously he has to pay back the money. So that's what the Gemara has a distinction here. If you're dealing with a case of Gzeilus v'chavoloi, where the Torah imposes the chiyuv upon me, so that the Gemara knows from the Psukim and Mishpatim that you need a bezin of three smuchim. That's a din min haTorah. But what if you're dealing with a case of Hodos v'chavoloi? Hodos v'chavoloi means when it's a hischaidus midas, the person accepted the obligation upon himself. So you don't need the Torah to impose the chiyuv upon me. So that was a machlokes amoraim. Rabbi Bo and Shmuel and Rabbi Yosef Tosfos points out every amora is involved. Everybody takes a stand. Whether you say the din of three smuchim applies equally to milva she'en k'suva b'Torah or no, it only applies to milva k'suva b'Torah. So here Rashi learns that this brayse is taking a stand on a machlokes amoraim. That's what Tosfos says. How can it be? So why don't the Gemara machlokes amoraim? And there's a brayse that says one way. So let the Gemara prove from the brayse that one of the Amoraim is right. The brayses were from the Tanoim, from the earlier generation. That's what Rashi writes on the top line on Daf Yamed Aleph. This brayse means like this. Din Imam and Bishloisha is only a din midirabonon. Min HaTorah really chad nami kosher. So the only, and we're talking about Hodos Malvois. We're not talking Zeilos Lachavos. Hodos Malvois, Min HaTorah, chad nami kosher. And it's only midirabonon that you need Shloisha. Why? Like Tosfos says over here, There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Alfi Hidon Yechidi, Shendon Yechidi El Echad, so Tosfos says Shema Yitzeh. So the reason why we shloi Shema the Rabbanon by Hodos Alvo is only with the Rabbanon Shema Yitzeh. But if he's a Mumcha L'Rab, it means he's gone there, he's Tavi, he knows the Halachas, and he knows how to say Egin and Chidushim, and he has a lot of practical experience in being a Torah, so he can do it in his sleep. So then there's no Hashah Shema Yitzeh. So we revert back to the Din D'Oraita. There's not there the Rabbanon in such a case. That's how Rashi reads the Braita. And Tosfos disagrees. The top Tosfos says, "Kasha." That was a machlokes amaroyim, and they didn't say any tanoim were involved. So why didn't they quote the Abraisa? The Abraisa supports those tanoim who say the Abraisa supports that sheet in amaroyim that says that the midraisa has ani kasha and haydos alva. That Tosfos kasha. The Tosfos says no, you can't say in shulchan aruch paskan like Tosfos. You can't say like Rashi. The Abraisa goes even on gzeilas v'havolas. It's not only going on haydos alva. Minateri in E3 and midrabbanon, the made a takana midrabbanon. If the fellow is an expert, crackerjack, mumcha l'rabim, he has a lot of experience and he knows dini Torah, he knows the halachas, and he knows how to be machalik. He's very good. So then midrabbanon, the made a takana based on hefker bez hefker that a mumcha l'rabim can be done afi yichidi. Even in a case where minat Torah for sure you needed three. That's why there's a Ramon chosh mishpat, simin mem vov. There's a simin chosh mishpat about kiyum shtoros. Kiyum shtoros haistazoy. I come with a document that says, signed by two aidim, that says that you owe me $50,000. So you look and say, you don't even know who I am. What do you mean you owe me $50,000? When did I lend you $50,000? You say it's mezuyah. I said, what kind of mezuyah? It's a shtar. It has two signatures. So min ha-toyro, the din is aidim, asim al-ashtar, nasa kimish nechri, dus in the bezin. You can spin from today till next year mezuyah, because the bezin sees a shtar and it looks like it's authentic. They're going to make you pay the $50,000 and there's no way for you to get out of it. Unless you can prove that it's a forgery. But the Rabbanon made a takana because they saw the Yeridus HaDeiros as the generations were going on and on. They saw people, more and more people were forging shtaras. So they said they can't leave it like that. So they made a takana the Rabbanon that if the Nitva, Tainis, Mizuyas, so the Taveya cannot win with a shtar unless he makes a Kiyum HaShtar. Unless he proves that the Chtimas are authentic. So the Gemara says in Ksubis, in the second parish, in Mishnah, that because Kiyum Shtoros is only the Rabbanon, and I tell you, you don't need it. So that's why there are a lot of coolers in Kiyum Shtoros. How do you do the Kiyum Shtoros? So when you do Kiyum Ashtar has to be done in the presence of a bezin of three. And Tosfos pointed out earlier that for the purpose of Kiyum Shtoros, the Tosfos on Gimel Amud Aleph, we learned already, Lerovo, Tosfos Dimam Afka, Lerovo, Tosfos says, for Kiyum Ashtar, there never was a machlokes amaroyim where they need a bezin of three or a bezin of one. That's a machlokes when you have a shaila of a hoidos v'halvoyas, a dintar about the me'amekach, or a dintar about a halvoyas. So machlokes amaroyim, whether you need a bezin of three or a chad namikosha. But when you really need a bezin, for Kiyum Ashtar, why do you need a bezin? No one's going to hold a chad namikosha. A bezin is a zicha three. That's what Tosfos says. Rambam like that, Tosfos like that. A bezin certainly needs three. So nonetheless, that's the simon involved is the whole simon about Kiyum Shtoros. So nonetheless, the Ramah writes that the minig in Europe in the days of the Ramah, in the 1500s, used to be, they used to do Kiyum Shtoros by the Rav in the city. The Rav in every town. Why? So he says, he's quoting from the Trumas Tadeshin, I think from earlier poskim, that we consider the Rav in every community like a Mumcha L'Rabim, and a Mumcha L'Rabim is a Takana de Rabbanim. You follow Tosfos, a Mumcha L'Rabim is a Takana de Rabbanim, using the principle of Hefker Bezin Hefker, that we treat the Mumcha L'Rabim as if he were a Bezdin, even in a Gzeilus V'Havolos, and even in a Kiyum Ashtar, that for sure needs a Bezin of three. That's a Takana de Rabbanim, but a Mumcha L'Rabim, we have the right to treat him like a Bezdin. That's how we assume Tosfos Pshat, not like Rashi. Mumcha L'Rabim, So Rav Nachman happened to have been an expert dayan. The Gemara says Rav Nachman was an expert in dini Torah. So he says about himself, "Kagoyin ano, a person like me, don dini mamon is biyichidi. I fall under this category. I know the dinim and I have a lot of experience. So I have the right to be done all by myself. I also fall under that category." So the Gemara is not sure what do they mean. When Rav Nachman gives himself as a dugma, that he is allowed to be done dini mamonis all by himself, he falls under this category. He's a mumcha l'rabim. Does he mean kigoyin ano digenirino usadirino? Gomer means that he knows all. He learned all the sources. He knows everything that it says. Usadirino means he knows how to say a svar. Rashi says he knows how to shtelstu. you're never going to have a case that's exactly the same as the case in Shulchan Aruch. Not in Yerideya, not in Chosh Mish, but nevertheless, it's always going to be one hor off. So you have to know whether that one slight mashu hu off, whether it belongs to Sibala, or Sibbeis, or Sibgimel. So it's not enough Gemirna, you know the whole Shulchan Aruch. You have to have Sibirna. You have to have Seichel to understand the ins and the outs of the Aloch in order to know how to apply. And you have to have a lot of experience also to make sure you don't make a mistake. Neither do. So the Gemara is not sure what did Rav Nachman mean. Kegoina, no, did he mean the Gemirna, the Sibirna, Udnikit, Merushusa? And I have permission from the Reish Galusa to practice Dayonis. Because this Aloch, the way Taisis learns this Aloch of Mumchal Rav Don, Afili Yechidi, is really in violation of the Din Deraisa. I mean, I'll tell you, you really need a Bezna 3. Not like Rashi, you're reverting back to the Din Deraisa. There's no Zera de Rabbanon, after Don Yechidi, Shema Yitte, because he has such experience, he has expertise. No, Taisis learns that we're talking about a Takana de Rabbanon, and a Mumchal Rabbanon can even be Don Yechidi, Kim Shtoris, he can even do Gzelus Mahavolos, it's a Takana de Rabbanon. All Takana de Rabbanon in the area of Din Mominish. Are based on Hefke, Bez, and Hefke. So the Shaila is, do you need a particular Hefke, Bez, and Hefke in each individual case? He has to be a Baki, Gemirna, Vesavirna, he knows all the dinim, he has experience, plus the Kitzim Rishusa, he got permission from the Reish Galusa to Taskin, and that permission from the Reish Galusa, that was the act of Hefke, Bez, and Hefke. Or should I say, Avalai Nakit Rishusa, but if he didn't get special permission from the Reish Galusa to practice Dayanus all by himself, Dine lav dine, so he doesn't have a din like a bezin, and if a lishu up sakana din teres, garnish vet, like a yochid is going to pass him, it's no good. Oy Dilma, perhaps Rav Nachman did not mean that. Perhaps he meant, Rav Nachman had to have everything. He was gomer, visover, with experience, with, he was established by the Reish Galusa as the chief dayan. So maybe that part is not likuba. Oy Dilma, I've got to learn how could rishu say dine dine. Maybe you don't need the nekitas rishus. Maybe there's no need for the Nikitas Rishus. There is an institution of Nikitas Rishus. That's going to be a whole Omid Gemara. That's one of the major sugyas in Sanhedrin. That's the sugya of Tor B'Shikal Adas. That's the major sugya. So the Gemara is going to quote it now, so we may as well discuss it right now. The din is that Odom HaMazik is Chayav. Odom HaMazik is Chayav only if he's Mazik in a direct fashion. What if he made a Gromah ben Azikin? He did something that led something, that caused something else, that caused something else, so indirect. So the din is that Gromah ben Azikin is Pov. Only Odom HaMazik B'Yadayim. What if it's not exactly so indirect, what if it's Garni? In Yeshiva they pronounce it Garni. I think in the Encyclopedia Talmudit they put the Nikud is Gromeh. I don't know how to pronounce that Gromeh. In Yeshiva they say Garni. So let that person did a hezek to someone else that was just a little bit indirect, but not in ganz indirect, halfway in between mazik biadayim and grama minizik. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. The Gemara says, whether doin din in the gamni, or loy din in the gamni. So the Gemara in Babakama, Dabkuf, and other tzarigot, Dabkuf has repeated a few sugyas, machlokes amei and achacham. Ramei is doin din in the gamni, Ramei hold yichayim, and achacham hold yipot, and Gemara says, be passing like Ramei. Din and din in the gamni. What's an example of din in the gamni? So the Gemara has various examples. So one of the major examples that's relevant here on this daf is a dayan shetor. There's a Mishnah M'chairis. Mishnah M'chairis, B'chairis is about B'chair Behem, all B'chairis. So it has about B'chair Behem HaTorah. If a Jewish farmer has a vlad is born, the first vlad is born to the parah, and it's a zachar, so it has a kedusha as B'chair Behem HaTorah. Even Mizmanazah, even Mizmanshein Beis HaMikdushkan, even a Chutzlor. So you're not allowed a Shechtid until it gets a Mum. Once it gets a Mum, you don't need Pidyon. But Chora Maisa, you know, all other Korbanos, once they get a Mum, you're able to be Poyda them. And Chora Maisa, there are two exceptions to the rule. The Pasuk says you don't have to be Poyda. It's Yotel Lechum without any need for any Pidyon. But that's only by Mezva Mamum if it gets a Mum Kavua. What if it only gets a Mum either? So then not. So the Mishnah in the context of the Mumin discusses other dinim as well. So you have to go to a dayan, and the dayan has to paskin whether it's a mum kavua or it's only a mum oiver. If it's a mum kavua, then you're allowed a shechtid chutz le beis hamikdash. Mishnah tells a story similar, not identical, that they once had a shayla on a behema whether it's a treifa or not, not whether it's a mum kavua, a treifa. What happened? They had a behema in the keva, and they had taken out the whole beis harechem from the female animal. So they asked the shayla of Rav Tarfon. Rav Tarfon wasn't a doctor. He didn't know. So he taught that it makes the animal a trefa. The animal is going to die within a year. The animal is a trefa. He said it's a trefa, and they should feed it to the dogs. So they fed the animal to the dogs. The rough passed that it's a trefa. So they're not going to, they listen. Years ago, the one said to me, Balabami used to listen to the rabbi. So they fed it to the dogs. Then, I think the Mishnah says, Tudus HaRoshe, a doctor came to tell Rav Tarfon, what are you talking about? It's a double yadua that it's not a trefa. In Alexandria, they did it all the time. Then when they would sell a behemoth, they didn't want them to reproduce themselves, so they used to remove the whole Beis HaRechem, and they lived many years afterwards, and Ishkan Trefi made a mistake. So Rav Tarfon felt, he's going to have to pay for this. Holcha Chamorcha Tarfon, that's what he said to himself. I'm going to have to pay to make good, because I'm not an Adam HaMazik B'Yadayim. I didn't take a gun and shoot the animal. I didn't choke it to death, but it was my psak. I told them they should feed it to the dogs, and they listened to me. They were good balabatim, they listened. So it's an Adam HaMazik. It's halfway in between. That's a major shot. I didn't know what's halfway in between, but that's when the Mishnah gives an example. That's called halfway in between Adam HaMazik B'Yadayim and Grama B'Nizik. This is an example of Gamri. They gave a psak, and they're going to listen to him. So he says, Hocha Chamorcha Tarfon. He's a Dayan. A Rav who paskens wrong on something, let's say Timei is a Tohar. They ask a Shaila whether the food is Tohar or Tomei, and the Rav paskens that it's Tomei, and therefore they should throw it out. They throw it out, then he finds out later on that he made a mistake. It was really Tohar, and there was no need to throw it out. Let's say Truma. Truma Tomei, you can't eat it all. So they throw it out, then he finds out he made a mistake. So the Mishnah gives that example. Timei is a Tohar, then he realizes he made a mistake. So Mishalami Beiso, he's considered an Olam HaMazik Medina de Garmi. Or let's say there was a Din Torah. Between Reuben and Shimon. So the dying passes in favor of one, he wins the money and he goes off to Medina Sayyam, goodbye. And then after the dying realizes, after the Baldin who won the money disappears, then the dying realizes he made a mistake and the psak should have been faker. So it was my fault that I said to him, you got to pay the money. If it would be Nasim and Nasim Bayad, the Gemara says, if I pasken Reuben is chayav to pay to Shimon and give me the money right now and I'm going to hand it over, then the Gemara says, you don't have to command the Rameh Danina Dina Digamik, that's Gazlon Diyadayim, I took the money. Gazlon doesn't only mean I take the money and I put it in my pocket. If I steal from the rich and give to the poor, it's also Gazlon. So here I stole from this person and I gave it to the other person. It was B'shoygeik, but still it's Gazlon. Gazlon B'shoygeik is also Gazlon. So the Gemara says, if it would have been a case of a Nasim and Nasim Bayad, the Dayan says, Reuben, you're chayiv, and give me the money, and I'm going to hand it over. He hands it over. So that's Gazlon B'Yadayim. So of course he's chayiv. But if he doesn't, Nasim Nasim B'Yad. Just passes, Reuben has to pay Shimon, and he listens, and he pays the money, and Shimon disappears with the money. And then the Dayan realizes that he made a false psak, so that's called Dayanin and Dinin de Gamri. We pass him Gamri is chayiv. So the Dayan Shator has to pay. So the Mishnah there in Choriz that tells about Rav Tarfon was crying, Hocha Chamorcha Tarfon. So I think Rabbi Akiva told him, don't worry, Rav Tarfon, you don't have to pay. Shemumcha lebezin nata v'chola mumcha lebezin patam al-shalim. What kind of halacha is that, mumcha lebezin patam al-shalim? So the Ramban explains in it, Ramban is also a doctor. Ramban has a whole Sefer Torah Sa'odom, where he goes through all the dinim of refuah. He talks about when the baby is born, what how you mechal Shabbos, if it's necessary to take care of the baby, how do you treat the yoledes. And when people get sick, what are the dinim of roifin, what are the dinim of refuah, and then if someone dies, ripping kriya and avelus, he has all the hilchos avelus, he has hilchos avelus, the end of it, and then he has hilchos tisha b'av there, avelus yishana. But he starts off with happy things about babies being born and treating the patients and sick and yoledes and all the dinim that have to do with the life and death of the human being. That's called Taras Adam. So the Ramban and Taras Adam quotes all the sources in the Gemara and all the preceptors that have to do with the yoni refuah. So he quotes this topic and he quotes this topic. Why does he quote this topic? Because the same issue applies to a doctor, a Rofei Shator. The Toseftas have the same. Medical malpractice is found in the Toseftas. The three Toseftas, two in Bava Kamma and one in Gittin, that talk about a Rofei Shator. So the Toseftas says, an Iker Adin, the doctor injured the patient, it's Odom Woodley Odom, he should have to pay anyway. But the problem is, the Ramban explains all of this, but the problem is the good doctors will be afraid to practice medicine because all they have to have is one case where they're going to make a mistake and then they'll sue them for everything and then they'll go broke. So for the rest of their lives they'll have to be paying out and they won't make a penny. So the same chashash applies to a roife. Doctors will be afraid to practice surgery. And Rabbanu will be afraid to paskin in the Hilchas Trefis. All they have to do is make one mistake on a major amount of money. And in a kashrus, the pasuk something is a treif and they'll throw it out, then it turns out that it was really kosher, they didn't have to throw it out. Or Dayanim will be afraid in Dine Torah. So they made a takana derabbanan based on hefke bez nefke, that if the government gives you approval, so tol lo yishalma, even though Odom HaMazik has to pay. And by a dain sheto, by a chacham shepasak lechumre, is a dina de gandhi, liker din he has to pay. So make takana derabbanan hefke bez nefke, we exempt you from pay. That's the institution of Netilas Rishus. That's called Netilas Rishus. Netilas Rishus appears in the Tosefta with respect to the doctors. If the doctor has Rishus from the government or from the Bezin, one or the other, either Rishus from the Bezin or Rishus from the government, so that's Hefke Bezin Hefke. Either Hefke Bezin Hefke or Dina Machus Adina. The government also has a right. Dina Machus Adina has a right to exempt people from payment. Even though Mikra Adina has to pay Mitam Orama Mazik, the government can exempt him. That's going to be the Hemshech HaGemara here on Hayamid Al. Either Bezin or the government has a right to. So this was a special takan of the Rabbanim. And this, all of this is quoted in the end of Yeridaya. In the end of Yeridaya, you have Yeridaya, Chela Gimel ends with Hilchus Avelis. But before you get to the Hilchus Avelis, it's... to it that he heals them, and doctor's not allowed to take more salary than a melamed, because only Chabat Tovah, the same dinim, Hashav is Aveda, all the halacha straight from the Ramban. And then it says these dinim, that a roife shekilkel, if the doctor injured the patient accidentally, his other wood li'olam has to pay, unless he has rishus. Unless he has rishus. Rav Chaim Moshe has a tshuva in Achiezer, where he quotes from the Sefer, there's a Sefer on the Ramban called Mishnas Chachamim. Today it's not such a popular story. I think they just... treat the patients to see to it that he heals them. And doctor's not allowed to take more salary than a melamed, because only Chabat Tovah, the same dinim, Hashav is Aveda, all halacha straight from the Ramban. And then it says these dinim, that a roife shekilkel, if the doctor injured the patient accidentally, his other mood, the other has to pay, unless he has rishus. Unless he has rishus. Rav Chaim Moshe has a tshuva in Achiezer, where he quotes from the Sefer, there's a Sefer on the Ramban called Mishnas Chachamim. Today it's not such a popular story. I think they just reprinted it recently. So many years it was wasn't so popular. The Minchas Chinuch always quotes in this Mishnah Chacham. He always quotes Chakiris and the Urim. Today it's not used so often. So Rav Chaim Moshe quotes a suffix from Mishnah Chacham that runs as follows. The Mishnah Chachamim understood the din in the Shulchan Aruch, the din in the Gemara, in the Tosefta, that a doctor, in order to practice medicine, has to have rishus from the business. So he raises a chakira, he raises a shaila. Does the doctor have to have rishus for each and every surgery? The bezin has to listen. He's going to do 5 surgeries today. So he needs rishus from bezin for every single surgery. And tomorrow he's going to do 5 surgeries. Next week he's going to do 10 surgeries. Every surgery he needs. What do you say? No. Once he graduates medical school, they give him rishus to practice surgery. He said, that's it. One rishus from the bezin. So the pashtus is that the whole sofik is out of context. And the pashtus, the whole thing is a mistake. When you look in the Ramban in the Torah Sodom explains what's going on over here. He says the rishus from the bezin is not rishus to practice medicine. To practice medicine, you have to have be certified doctor, whatever the government declares it. I'm going to go do surgery and someone I'll kill him. So of course you have to know medicine, you have to have a certificate to practice medicine. The rishus from the bezin is an andamaiser. That's for the purpose of tolo yishalmu. That's a din in order mamazik. Achoyva b'chaveiroi has to pay, or amazik has to pay. But we're going to discourage the good doctors from staying in medicine. We're going to discourage the rabbonim from paskin shav the sisa v'heta. They'll be afraid to open their mouth on a shayla of basa b'cholav, ayuchas treifas. The pasuk something is treif, and they'll throw it at Balabatim, will throw it at, then it's going to come out as kosher. I'll have to pay for my pocket. It's a fortune of money. So to encourage the good Rabbanim to stay in Pesachim, to encourage the good Dayanim to stay in Dayanis, and to encourage the good doctors to stay in surgery, So they made a takana hefker bezna hefker. If you have a shus from the either from the bezna or from the government, told by Yishamba. But it's not that you need rishus to practice medicine. The both dodim of the chakira are al-tipasht is not correct. Neither is correct. You don't need rishus for every single surgery, and you to practice surgery. Nor do you need rishus once and for all to practice surgery. That's a different thing. You have to be certified by the government to make sure that you qualify. But the rishus is in order to be patur, that tolo yishama. It's a totally different halacha. So that's the background of the din and the gemara over here. So the gemara has like this. This is a sugya. Later, so a few gemaras. So let's say there's a din Torah, and the Reuven and Shimon have a din Torah, and the dayan, the bezna of three, or the dayan paskins, and he made a mistake. How serious was the mistake? So the gemara speaks about two levels of errors. There's a tol b'dvar mishnah, and there's a tol b'shikol hadas. Tov Dvar Mishnah means out and out rule, nothing to discuss. The Farish against the Mishnah. And then the Gemara says, what if he made a mistake about Apsak from the Amoraim? The Gemara asks later, so the Gemara says, what do you think, Otlanan Katlikani Biagma? What are we just farmers? What we have to say is also called Tov Dvar Mishnah. What the Tov Dvar Mishnah doesn't only mean Mishnah, from the Tanoim, a mistake on Apsak from Amoraim is also called Tov Dvar Mishnah. Then the Rosh quotes from the Goyim, what if it's something that's not beferish in the Mishnah, nor beferish in the Gemara? What if it's in the Sifrei HaGoyim? Whatever is a beferish in the Shulchan Aruch, whatever there's no machlokes about, that's called Tov Dvar Mishnah. So Tov Dvar Mishnah, that's just an out and out error. So there's nothing to discuss. Tov Dvar Mishnah is Chayzer, he reversed the Pesach. If he made a mistake with Shikol Hadas, made a mistake with Shikol Hadas means there's a machlokes. The Gemara says, Hechi Dami Shikol Hadas. Here's the Gemara, Davoba Med Aleph. So about 10 lines from the top of the Yomim. So the Gemara says, the Tor B'mai, what kind of a mistake did they make? We're going to get to the Gemara, when we get there we'll see the whole Gemara. Ilema the Tor B'dvar Mishnah, if he made a mistake, out and out mistake, Abifarish and Mishnah, Abifarish and Din in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. So the Gemara says, Amar Abshesh, Amar Abami, Amar Abasi, whoever it is, Tor B'dvar Mishnah Chayzer. You reverse the psak. There's nothing to discuss. That's not a psak. Ever tov b'shikol hadas. We're talking about a case. We're talking about a case. The dai made a mistake b'shikol hadas. What's the definition of tov? Echidam b'shikol hadas. What's the definition? Amar Apapi says like this. Kigo. Trei tanoi amachleikus. Machleikus ha-tanoi. Or trei amaroi. It doesn't matter. Machleikus tanoim and amachleikus amaroim. Machleikus rishoyim and machleikus acharim. But there's a machleikus. The pligi adoni, v'leid mehilchas aloi kamar v'lo kamar. There is no beferish psak. A lot of times you have a beferish psak. It says in Shulchan Aruch, it says in the Rambam, the din is like Rabbi Yudah, Ramei Rabbi Yudah, like Rabbi Yudah, period. Sof pasuk, so that's Tov Dvar Mishnah. But if you have a machloik, it's v'leid mehilchas aloi kamar v'lo kamar. It was never up gipaskin explicitly. However, the sugyon, the almo, aliba dechad minayah. But the general practice is that the moira hayro, or the dayonim, always paskin one way. But Ozalihu and this Chacham, this Dayan, or this Rav, Paskin Faker. All the Dayan and Paskin and Faser, this is Kosher, this Basel Chav is Kosher, that's the accepted Psak. Doesn't say the Farish and Shulchan Aruch, but the meaning of the Moira HaRoh is they Paskin Kosher, or the meaning of the Dayan and Masachid Din Terah is they Paskin Potter, and he goes ahead and he Paskins Osler. He Paskins that it's Chayyad, whatever. But Ozalihu and this Chacham went ahead, but Ova Kedah. And then later on he realizes, but that's not the generally accepted practice. So that's cool. And later on the Dayan feels bad about it, that he paskin wrong. If the Dayan still sticks to his gun, so it's not tall. So he's not tall. You have a machleg of the ktsos in the nesivit. Go to the ktsos, he'll give you one psak. Go to the nesivit, he'll give you another psak. So that's not tall, b'shikola, that's not tall, b'dvar mishnah. He holds that he's right, and he holds that he's right. You have machlegis in today also, halacha l'mais. So that's not called tall. We're talking tall. He came to a bezin, and bezin paskin one way. And there is a mocker. There is a mocker to say like that. It's a machloikis. But then afterwards the bezna feels bad, or the rav paskin trade, whatever, kosher trade. And then the rav feels bad. He realizes that that's not the generally accepted psak, and he realizes he made a mistake. So what's the din? So if it's a shaila from Basa B'cholov, he said, let's say, trade. He realized he made a mistake. So call up the balabas, tell him I made a mistake, don't throw it out. So if he didn't throw it out yet, so he's allowed to eat it. Or let's say the rav said kosher. Balabas goes home, he's very happy. Then the Rav realizes that's not the generally accepted psak. So he calls up the Balabas and says, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. The din is that it's not kosher. It's not
kasha. So don't eat it, throw it out. Okay.
But what if he made a mistake, tov b'shikol hadas, and it didn't hurt? In favor of one baldin, and that baldin has the money already. Reuven already paid the money to Shimon. So then the Chiddush Aran explains on the Avoh, there's a din, amoytzi mechaber all of haraya. In order to be moytzi moment from a muchzok, you got to have haraya alimto. That's what we had a din. Tosfos quoted aloha and gimel on the days, ein holcha b'moment achar haroy. If you're muchzok on the money and I have a roy to prove that you're supposed to hand the money over to me, that's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, and we pass in ein holcha b'moment achar roy. You cannot be moytzi moment from a muchzok just based on the roy. You have to have Rabbi Shimon quotes from the Trumas Hadesh and Hamoitza Mechavera, all of Haraya, you need a Raya with a Hei Hayidiyah, you need a Raya Limta. Raya is not a good enough Raya, you have to have a stronger Raya. So here also, it's a strange thing. The Dayan made a mistake, but not a Toy B'dvar Mishnah. If I said Reuben has to pay Shimon, and then I realized I made a mistake. Nobody, that's not the halacha. It's Mehilchas Elahedya. It's Upkipaskin the favorite. There never was a Machlekes, there was a Machlekes, and it's Upkipaskin. So it's wrong, because I have to call up the Balabas. I say, I made a mistake, I got to give him back the money. I have to give him back. But if I made a mistake, the Torah B'Shikol Adas, so the Baldin, from a Balabatim, he doesn't have the Yetzel Harif Exhaler, the Balabas does not have to give back the money to the other one. Since he won in the first Pesach, and the first Pesach wasn't an out-and-out error, so we say, Hamoytze Mechaver, all of Harayim. Just because the Dayan has Charotim now, who says that the first Pesach was wrong? It's a Machloikis. The Tligid Trey Tanoi Tramorai is a Machloikis. Uloyit Mehilchasuk Echad Minayim. It's not Ob Kipaskin the Ferris. It's Sugi in the Yalma. The meaning of the Dayanim is that they paskin like Rav Yehuda, whatever. The meaning of the Dayanim is they paskin one way. But it doesn't mean that the other way is absolutely wrong. So this Dayan originally paskin like the other way, and this Baldin already has the money in his pockets. Even if he's a Fruma Elche, he has no desire to defraud anybody. The halacha says he doesn't have to give back the money. He didn't abscond. He didn't move away to Medina Sayyam. He's right here. He doesn't have to give back the money because Hamoytze Mechaver, all of Haraya, he's muchzak on the money. And the first psak is a suffix. It's at least a suffix. Maybe the first psak is correct. So he has a right to hold on to the money. But the Dayan says I made a mistake. So the Dayan feels bad. The Dayan declares himself as an Adam Amazik. Medina Degami. I told Reuven to pay Shimon. So Medina Degami, I'm an Adam Amazik. And even though he's still here and he can give the money back, the Ran says he doesn't have to give the money back. Hamoytze Mechaver all of Haraya, he can keep the money. And now the din Torah is on the Dayan, whether I have to pay or not. So we paskin, like Rav Meir doin din Gamri, the Dayan should tow up the Pesach Shalo, has to pay. Unless his knuckle reshoes, unless the government or the Bezdin wanted to encourage this Dayan to remain in Dayanis, because this time he made a mistake. But usually he's an expert, he's a crackerjack, Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was very good. Once in a while, everybody's human, so they make a mistake. Rav Nachman was an expert in Dayanis. So he says, Kagoyin Ano, and he had reshus from the Reish Galus also. He had reshus, you have to either, in order to be potter from paying, you have to either have reshus from the Bezdin, or reshus from the Reish Galus. And the reshus is not to permit you to practice Dayanis. No, he can practice, he knows how to learn, he can practice Dayanis. If he has smich, he does not smich, whatever, he's allowed to practice. The Rishus is that told by Yishalmu to encourage him to remain in Dayana, so they used to give Rishus. So that was the Gemara had a topic. Rav Nachman says, Kegoyin Ano, I know the halachas, and I have a lot of experience, so I fall under the category mentioned in this Braisa, that a Mumcha L'Rabim Dan Afil Yechidi. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Al Tidon Yechidi, Geit Nishtom by Mir, there's no Chashash and Meyita, even though once in a while we also made a mistake, there's no Chashash and Meyita, he's allowed to pass him by himself. So the Gemara is Mesupik, what did he mean? What did Rav Nachman mean? We know that Rav Nachman happened to have had Rishus from the Reish Galusa to practice Dayanis. But what did that Rishus from the Reish Galusa mean? That's a different halacha. That's Legabi the din of Tol or Yishalma. The din is that a Dayan Shetol is Mukhayif to pay to make good from his pocket based on Dina de Gami. He's a Mazik. He's not Mazik via Dayan. He's a little bit indirect. So Medina the Gami is Chayiv, but in order to encourage Rav Nachman to stay in Dayanis, he shouldn't go into publishing, he shouldn't go into some other field, he should stay in Dayanis. So the Reish Galusa gave him permission to Taskin and told Lo Yishalmu. So the Gemara is not sure what did Rav Nachman mean. Maybe he meant you have to have Gomer Vistovir with Nikitas Rishus, because the whole din of Mumcha L'Rav Dan Afil Yechidi is based on a principle of Hefke Bezen Hefke, the way Taisus says. Not like Rashi, that you revert back to the din Derais. Since he's a Mumcha L'Rabim, he's no Chashash HaMiyita, so he can revert back to the Din D'Oraisa. No, Taisus says, we're talking about Kiyum Shtoris.
Well, for sure you need a Bezna 3. We're talking about Gzeilas Lachavos. For sure you need a Bezna 3. Nonetheless, the price has a Takana de Rabbana, that a Mumcha L'Rabim Zan Afili Yechidi. So all Takanas de Rabbana are based on Hefke Bezna Hefke. So the Gemara was Mesupik. Maybe you have to have Netilas Rishus that the Din should apply to you. Iboilu, the Rab Nachman mean, Kegoyin Anon Nachmi, the Noket Rishusa. Abeloi Noket Rishusa. But if you have a fellow who is a mumcha l'rab, a crackek jack expert, gomer, sovereign experience, and alagut nizari, but he doesn't have netilus rishus from the Rej Galusa, dine, lav dino, so his psak is gonish ver, so if the other balabas is still around, and I tell him I made a mistake, he has to give back the money. Because the first psak was meaningless. Because a mumcha l'rabim has no right to paskin at all, unless you're using a takon of hefkebez nefke. Hefkebez nefke only applies here if the bezin gave you hefkebez nefke, if they gave you authorization to pass. Oy Dilma, maybe I should say no. Abgab the loynokin rishusa. Did Akitas rishus that Rab Nachman happened to have had? Yeah, that's correct. That's with respect to Tolo Yishalva, but you don't have to have an Akitas rishus to apply this din of mumcha l'rab and danaf yedichidi. Let's say there are a million and one takonas d'rabban in the area of dini mamanis. And all the takonas d'rabban in the area of dini mamanis, Gemara asks in Yibamis, how can the bezin make a takon of dini mamanis that you have to give me money? It's tach gzeila. Min atari, you don't have to give me the money. But the rabbanim, they say you have to give me the money. How can I take the money from you? Ain't karach the afachamim lakadov min atari bikum v'yase. I go and I take your money and I put it in my pocket. This stuff bikum v'yase. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a kash. They make hefke bezin. So all the million and one takonis that were instituted in the area of dini mamanis, every daf and shas is a takon of the rabbanim and dini mamanis. So all the takanas are bezin hefke, and hefke bezin hefke. But you don't need that the bezin should declare. In this case, we hereby declare hefke bezin hefke. When the Tanoim and the Amoraim made the takanas, they said at that time hefke bezin hefke. You don't need a bezin in our generation to say we're being matzah in. But here the Gemara was mesupik. Now Nachman said kigoyin ano. So what did he mean? Did he mean gemir nevsvir nevune kitne reshusa to apply this mumcha l'rab and dana to apply this halacha mumcha l'rab and dana afili yichidi? You have to have a particular hefke bezin hefke. The bezin or the reish galusa should give you permission to paskin, and that makes the hefke bezin that the mumcha l'rabim can be done yechidi. No, dine without that the rishus from the reish galusa is with you. That was only with respect to tolo yishama. Has nothing to do with the brisa. The brisa says mumcha l'rabim dana afili yichidi. He just has to be a gomer b'tzavah with a lot of experience. He doesn't have to have the rishus. Toshma, the Gemara proves it. That was the marzut shebeit the Rab Nachman, his son. Don dina v'to. Paskin all by himself. Mumcha l'rabim. He made a mistake. Mumcha l'rabim. The reason why the mumcha l'rabim is allowed to paskin by himself is because we're not afraid. Chashin Hashem b'yitze. But once in a while it does have. So he made a mistake. Also the kamei de Rav Yosi. So he had a shaila. Does he have to pay or not? Does the Dayan Shetoah have to pay? So we know what the din is. A Dayan Shetoah has to pay unless he has Rishus and the Reish Galusa. So he didn't have this, obviously. This Mazutra, the son of Rav Nathan, did not have Rishus from the Reish Galusa. So he has to pay. So what was the Shaila? It's an open and shut case. A Mishnah and Chayr is like that. A Dayan Shetoah has chayv to pay Midina de Garmi unless he has Rishus from the Bezin, Mumcha le Bezin Ata, or he has Rishus from the Reish Galusa, and that exempts him from paying. So what was the Shaila? The Shaila was like this. But they asked him to make the din Torah. So if the Baladinim, they came to me. They asked me to come. I was minding my own business. I was sitting in the Beis Medrash. I didn't look for the trouble. I didn't put an advertisement in the newspaper. Whoever wants a din Torah, come and solve all the world's problems. I'm the world's greatest expert. I didn't say that. They came and they searched me out. And they asked me to make a din Torah. So maybe that should be an implicit mechila. Maybe that should be the equivalent of an implicit mechila. That if I make a mistake, that I won't have to pay. That was the shaila. Also, the Kama de Rav Yosi, he said, what's the din, do I have to pay or not? Amalei, so Rav Yosi said, it depends. Im kib lo chalai, if they will mekabel you loy tishalem, then it's a mechila. They will mechil you if you'll make a mistake. Be loy, if they will not mekabel you, mil shalem, then you have to pay. That's a question, there's still a question. What do you mean, kabbalah, if they mekabel you? So Rashi writes over here, that's a discussion. Rashi writes, in Kiblo Chalayhu, they came to me, and they said, Rabbi Shechter, whatever you say goes, whether you're right or you're wrong. That's what they said. We want to listen to your psak even if you're wrong. It's a little funny. That's how Rashi learns. In Kiblo Chalayhu, legamre, lelach acharecha, im ledin, im letoes, They said, if you rabbi, if you make a mistake, we're going to stick to your psak even if you're wrong. That's what they said. That's what Rashi learned. And other Rishonim are not so convinced. Other Rishonim say, no, in Kibbalah Halak, they came to you, so it's an implicit mechila. You don't have to have explicitly. They said the Farish, im ledin, im letoyes, v'lo yitzvuch. That's the question. Okay. That's the question. So the Gemara says, what was the question of Mazutra Beid Rav Nachman that he asked Rav Yosef, what he has to pay? Obviously, he didn't have reshus from the Reish Galusa. If he has reshus from the Nasi, from the Reish Galusa, so we know the din is Tola Yishalma. That's Hefke Bez and Hefke. So obviously, the son didn't have. Rav Nachman, the father, had reshus from the Reish Galusa in Tola Yishalma. Like Rav Tarfon had. Rav Tarfon said, oh, in the Mishnah Mchoris, Hol Chacham Orcha Tarfon, I'm going to have to pay. I'm going to have to pay because I paskin that the behemoth was a treifon. Then Rabbi Kiva said, you were authorized by the Bezin, and since they gave you Rishus, the din is Tola Yishalma, they exempted you. So Rab Nachman had Rishus in the Reish Galusa. His son Mazutra didn't have any Rishus. And that's why he thought he's going to have to pay, because he made a mistake. Rabbi Yosef said, well, it depends. If they were mekabel you, so that's a mechila. So they were meichel. If I'm mazik somebody else, the other person can be meichel me also. And that's what he says, in Kibbalah Halayah Lo Tishalom, if they're meichel, you don't have to pay. So the Gemara says, Shmamino, that even though this Mazlutra Beit Rav Nachman never had Rishus in the Reish Galusa, Shmamino, you can prove from this story, Kiloi Noked Rishusa, Dine Dina, the Psak is a good Psak. Because if you're going to say that he doesn't have the status of a Mumchal Rabim, that he has a right to be done, unless it's Gom if it's Sov, if it's Noked Rishus, he clearly didn't have any Rishus in the Reish Galusa. He would have Rishus, there's nothing past Rav Yitzchak. Rishus in the Reish Galusa, Yipata, without Kiblu Alayu. So he didn't have Rishus. So if you didn't have Rishus, and you're going to tell me a swear that the whole Takana de Rabbanon of the Braisa doesn't apply, so let him just tell the other Balabas, give him back the money. He absconded. Doesn't say he absconded. No, the other Balabas is here. And he's from a Balabas. But he made a mistake in Shikol Adas, so he's not even mechuyif to give back the money. The Balabas who has the money has the right to keep it and say, maybe a first psak is correct. If it would have been a Torah B'Dvar Mishneh, Balabas can say maybe the first psak is correct. Outright mistake, he has to give back the money. But Torah B'Shikol Adas, the Balabas who won the first time can say, I hold back the first psak. How do you know that I have to give it back? Just like, you tell me now you made a mistake. Maybe you make a mistake now, maybe the first psak is right. He's not mechuyif to give back the money. So the Gemara says, but if you're going to tell me that a mumchal rabim dana fi d'yichidi, that takon and the braisa only applies when there was reshus from the Reish Galusa, no, Mazutra Beit Rav Nachman never had any reshus from the Reish Galusa. If he would have reshus, there wouldn't be nothing to discuss, it would be told Ayisham. So you see that Dino Din, that the Balabas doesn't have to give back the money. If it's ain't Dino Din, of course he has to give back the money. You see that it's Dino Din, and it's an Asik, but he has to make good from his own pack. Shmamino, that's the Gemara's proof. So then the Gemara says, so what is the sole purpose of reshus from the Reish Galusa? It's not to enable you to apply the Din and the Braisa. The din in the braisa applies without reshus. The whole relevance of the reshus from the Reish Galusa is only for Tola Yishalmu. That's the whole institution. Omar Rav, Haiman, the boy, the main dino. If someone wants the paskin to go in Dayonis, Victor, the boy, the liftero, and he doesn't want to have to pay. If he makes a mistake, so he better get 100 on all his trinis for Dayonis, and then they'll give Mistama the upper 2% or the upper 1% of the Dayonim. The Bezin is going to give a shoot in order to encourage them to stay in Dayana, so they'll give them a tour. That told by Yishama. So he says, let's go to Shus in the Bay Reish Galusa. Let him get, Rav lived in Bavel. Rav Shmuel lived in Bavel. So they say, let him get Rishus from the Reish Galusa. Bechenam Shmuel. Shmuel also lived in Bavel. Let him get Rishus from the Reish Galusa. Rav Shmuel both said the same thing. So then the Gemara says, what if you don't live in Bavel? What if you live in Eretz Yisrael? There is no Reish Galusa in Eretz Yisrael. Reish Galusa lives in Bavel. What's the halacha there? So the Gemara says, no problem. Rav Tarfon didn't live in Bavel either. And the Mishnah there in Bechoris, around the Aflamid, the Mishnah says in Bechoris, Rav Tarfon was all nervous, Holcha Chamorcha Tarfon, until Rabbi Kiva said, calm down. Mumcha lebez na'atah b'chala mumcha lebez, and patah me'lashalem. So he lived in Eretz Yisrael, so the Nasi. So the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael gives Rishus. That's called mumcha lebez. Not the same as mumcha lerabim. Mumcha lerabim means a different thing. He's an expert dayan, he has a lot of experience. Mumchal Bezin means in Mumchal Bezin, the Lashon and the Mishnah and Chorez Aflamen, is not the same as Mumchal Rav. Mumchal Bezin means he has Rishus, that Tov Lo Yishalma. That's what it means. So the Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael, the Rishus has to be gotten, Tov Lo Yishalma has to be gotten from the Nasri. And in Bavel, the Rishus has to be gotten from the Reish Galus. So now the Gemara has a shaila: what if he got Rishus in Eretz Yisrael, and then he moves to Bavel and he practices Dayanus there? Does the Rishus that he got in Eretz Yisrael help him to pater him in Bavel? Or if I care, if he got Rishus from the Reish Galus in Bavel, then he goes to Eretz Yisrael and he practices Dayanus there, he makes him instead. So does the Rishus from the Reish Galus, the Hefke Bezna Hefke? Hefke Bezna Hefke, fine, let's say, there's an Asik in the Satmar community, so I'm going to make a Bezna Washington Heights with my Rebbe's and Yishuv, I'm going to make a Hefke Bezna Hefke. They're going to laugh at us. What do you mean? I'm not their Bezna. How can I stick my 2 cents into their right? They have an Asik over there in the Satmar community. Oh no, it's all B'nai Barak. They're having an Asik here somewhere. So we're going to make a Bezna here in Flatbush. We're going to make a Hefke Bezna Hefke. We have no jurisdiction over there. So Gemara now has a Shiloh jurisdiction. The din of Tol or Yishalmu is based on Hefke Bezna Hefke. So who has jurisdiction over what? The Nasi in Eretz Yisrael has jurisdiction. Nasi is the Rosh HaSanhedrin. Has jurisdiction over Eretz Yisrael. Does he have jurisdiction over the Jews who live? We're talking about Jews. And everybody respects the Sanhedrin and the Rosh HaSanhedrin. Yeah, but the Shadu, does he have jurisdiction that Hefke Bezna Hefke over the Kehillah in Bavel? And the Reish Galusa was running the government so that the Jews had their own government in Bavel. They had their own government. So the Reish Galusa has authority over the Jewish community in Bavel. Does he have authority over the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael also? So that's the Gemara's discussion. Shita, this we know for sure. Mehacha lahacha. Hacha is Bavel. If the Reish Galusa gives Rishus, means Tol lo yishalmu. He patters based on Hefke Bezna Hefke. If he gives Rishus, it works for Bavel. Or mehasam lahasam. And Rishus in Eretz Yisrael to practice Dayanus in Eretz Yisrael. Or to paskin dini Torah, or to paskin, same thing for doctors, the same thing. For doctors who make a mistake, is also based on Tola Yishalm, is based on, if they got Rishus, is based on Hefke Bezna Hefke. Or the Chacham who paskin is also straight, is a possible cholabro, it's all the same thing. If he has Rishus, then he's possible. So the Gemara says, Pshita mehacha lehacha in Bavel, Rishus from the Reish Galusa patas, mehasam hasam. Rishus from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Hashanah helps in Eretz Yisrael. And this also pshito, mehacha lahasam nami nahani, the Rishus from the Reish Galusa helps to pater even if I'm going to make a mistake in Eretz Yisrael, is also good. Why? The Reish Galusa for sure has jurisdiction over Eretz Yisrael. The only thing with Mesupik is, but the Nasi Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael has jurisdiction over Bava. The Gemara comes to the conclusion, no. The Reish Galusa has jurisdiction over Eretz Yisrael, but the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael has no jurisdiction to make a Hefke Bezna Hefke for the Kehillahs in Bavel. That's how the gist of the Gemara flows. Mehacha lehasam from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. The Reish Galusa gives Rishus Tol lo yishalmu. It helps even Eretz Yisrael Mahani for sure. Why? The Hacha in Bavel, the Reish Galusa, represents the concept of Shevet. He's the real government. Lehasam in Eretz Yisrael, they're Talmid HaChachamim, but it's not the real government. It's Mechoykek. As it says in the Pasuk, lo yasu Shevet ni Yehuda, or Mechoykek ni Bein Raglov. So the tradition had it, Leos Shevet Yehuda, the government will always remain in Shevet Yehuda, Eli Rashi Golish of the Bavel. They were all descendants from the Malchus Beis David. So that's the Rashi Golias represented the government. Mechaykek means one of Paskin's halachas. Chukim and Mishpatim, one of Paskin. Chukim and Beiraglov, that's an allusion to the Nisiyim, the Rashi HaSanhedrin, Shebaret Yisrael. Tosis quotes from the Gemara in Psochim, that the Gemara says that the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael knew how to learn better than the Rabbanim in Bavel. The Gemara has it in a few places. The Gemara says, Avir at Eretz Yisrael Machkin, here Tosis quotes from Balbasa, Kufnu, and Chesam, and Deis. The Tosis the Hochel, Kimamaskot the Hochel. So they quote the Gemara at the end of Balbasa, Avir at Eretz Yisrael Machkin. So the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael know how to learn better than the Rabbanim Kufnu. So Tosis said, what's going on? It says in the other Gemara, a few Gemaras, that Talmid HaChachamim in Eretz Yisrael was stronger than Talmid HaChachamim in Bavel. How come over here the Rishus, the Hefke Bezna Hefke somehow of the Rosh Hashanah, of the Reish Galusa, is stronger, works in Eretz Yisrael, the Rishus in Eretz Yisrael doesn't work in Bavel? The Taisa says, two different issues, two different shaylas. If you're talking, who knows how to learn better, how to pass them better? The Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, no shayla. Well, you're talking here, government. Dina de Malchus Adina. There's a din of Hefke Bezna Hefke, but you see from this Gemara, that's the long tshuva in the Devar Avram, the first tshuva in Chelek Aleph, you see from this Gemara and all of Rishonim here, that the Allah of Hefke Bezna Hefke is a branch, it's not with the Koyach HaLimud HaTorah, because he's such a great Talmid Chacham, he has the right to do Hefke Bezna Hefke. No, Hefke is really a function of Dina de Malchus. The government has the right to be mocked. But sometimes if the government isn't doing their job, so then the Bezna has the right to act as if they are the government.
So hefker bezna hefker is bimkoi, dina machusa. But the real din is dina de machusa dina. So the real government, the real power of government was the Reish Galus. He was the melech. He had to say, the Rambam writes, Rashi Galish Abibavo Mamokam Melechim Omdi. That's the Lashon HaRambam and Hilchos Sanhedrin. Rashi Galish Abibavo Mamokam Melechim Omdi. That's the pasuk. Lo Yosef Shevet Mehuda, Eile Rashi Galish Abibavo. Well, the Rambam quotes that. Where is it in Hilchos Sanhedrin, I think? So the Reish Galusa has the role like a melech. The melech is Abad Adina and Machlus Adina. The Talmid HaChachamim and Eretz Yisrael knew how to learn better, but that doesn't give them more power. Adirabe. Hefker Bezna Hefker is less than Dina Machlus. Hefker Bezna Hefker is a branch of Dina Machlus. When the government isn't doing its job, so the Bezna has a right to act even though they're a government. So that's what the Gemara says. The Reish Galusa has jurisdiction over Eretz Yisrael. It's doch the melech for Gans Paul Yisrael. So of course he has a right, has jurisdiction to be mafke the moment, tola yishalmu, in Eretz Yisrael. But the Shaila is the Rosh HaSanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael, great Talmid HaChachamim, knows how to learn much better than the Reish Galusa. Who says the Reish Galusa knows how to learn at all? The Reish Galusa is a din mela. He doesn't necessarily have to be a Talmid HaChachamim. Some of them knew how to learn a little bit, and many of them were just politicians. They didn't know how to learn. But it doesn't matter, that's hefke doesn't hefke, that's din in the machusa. But the Rosh HaSanhedrin is so fine, he knows how to learn. But the power of Hefke Bezin is because they have a right to act as if they're the government. So they have jurisdiction to act here. They're the government even. Mehasam Lahacha. They have even jurisdiction over Baalbel. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara clears the Shaila. What about Mehasam Lahacha? My Toshma? The Gemara says no. That the jurisdiction of the Rosh HaSanhedrin Eretz Yisrael is only restricted to Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply to Bavel. He doesn't have jurisdiction to be Mafke Mammon in Bavel. Yeah, the Taisa Siya quotes a passage from the Yerushalmi. That's a famous comment from our Dovah of Soloveitchik that they have on this Yerushalmi. Taisa quotes in Yerushalmi, why is it that the Rashi Golish of the Bavel was stronger? Why is it that they had a Din Melech? And they were both descendants from Malchus Beis Dovah. The Rosh HaSanhedrin and Eretz Yisrael the Nisiyim were descendants from the Dovid HaMelech, and the Reish Galus is in Bavel to a certain point. We're also descendants from Dovid HaMelech. So how come Dovid HaMelech was the Melech? So how come the Reish Galus in Bavel has the status like Rosh HaKodesh of the Bavel and Malkam Melech Haim Omni? And how come the Rosh HaSanhedrin is only Atama Chochem, Agresa Talmud Chochem, Zer Agresa Talmud Chochem? He doesn't have that. He has Koyach of Hefke Bezna Hefke Bimkoim government when there is no government. But he doesn't have Mehasam Lahacha, he doesn't have. How come? The Taisa says because those, the Rashi Goliaths, were Ben Achaben. They were Minas Chor. So they were from Shevet Yehuda. The Rashi HaSanhedrin were from the daughters. They were not from, they didn't have the din of Malchus Beis Dovid. It was from the daughter's son, not from the son. It wasn't Ben Achaben. So that's what Avelbala added on the pasuk. It says, Leos Shevet Yehuda, from Shevet Yehuda. That's the Mishpachosim Ladeis Avosim, that's Mishpachasah. And then it says, "Mechaykik mibein raglof." That lashon mibein raglof means menanikavis. Mechaykik mibein raglof. That's the menanikavis. That the Achrenim have like that. Think of Mamshir and others write like that. But the quote of Rav Avla Soloveitchik also made that comment. That with this Yerushalmi that says his quote, the last line of the Halacha Shevet Hashem Mechaykik, that the Nasi Shabbat is always menanikavis. Can you remember the Yerushalmi? And the Reish Galusa was from the Scharim. So the Reish Galusa from the Scharim. The one who takes over the Malchus, Ben Achaben, takes over the Malchus Beis Dovid. But the Nekevis don't Yarsh. So that's Mibein Raglav, so that's weaker. So they didn't have jurisdiction over Bavel. Okay, next time. The Tanoim instituted a Takana that every Shabbos when you're laying Kriyas HaTorah you have to have a Haftorah from Navi that has a Shaychus with this Sedra. So what exactly, every so often there's a Haftorah that's not so clear what the Shaychus is. Well, very often there's a superficial relationship, but there's often a much deeper relationship with the Sedra. So what exactly is the relationship between the Haftorah and the Parsha? So the simple relationship is, then in the parasha of Bayera, you have about a story, Imena didn't have any children, and then she was blessed with a child at a very old age, she was 90 years old. So the Haftarah is also the same thing. There was an Isha Ashunamis, and she was very kind to Elisha Anovi, and he wanted to know how can he repay her kindness, and he gave her a blessing, and she had a baby boy. So it's similar to the parasha, that the woman was old, and she practically gave up hope of ever having children, and then they were blessed with a nest, they had a child. That's superficially.
But it could be that there's more of a shaykhus, because the Haftarah keeps on going on and on and on, according to the Minig Ashkenazim. Minig Ashkenazim ends a little earlier. Minig Ashkenazim keeps on going. So it could be that there's more than one relationship. It's interesting, in the Haftarah there are two stories that are told. The first story was about Esher Sarvadia Hanovi, that her husband had borrowed a lot of money to support the Nevi'ei Hashem, the Nevi'ei Ho'emes. And they're coming to take away the children because they had a goyish. There is no such thing. But Achav Harosha, Tosis points out Navar Yizara. Achav Harosha was done the Dine B'nei Noach. He didn't follow the Dine Hatar. So he's going to, according to the Dine B'nei Noach, now take away the children to pay the debts of the father. Take them as slaves. So, and she has no money to pay. What's she going to do? So Elisha Navi asked him, what does she have? Mayesh Lach Mabayas. She has nothing. She has a little container of shemen. So he says, borrow from all of the neighbors, lock, borrow empty kelim, lock the doors. But Tizgar Adela, she locks the door. He told her that she should lock the door. But Tagart Adela, she says, but Tizgar Adela, she locks the door, and she's pouring and pouring and pouring until all the containers are all full of oil. And then she says, give me another container, no more containers. So stop, the nest stop. So the pasuk describes that there was nobody there when the nest happened. Apparently those were the instructions. The Rabban Shlom didn't want the Navi, didn't want that the Nesh should be done in public. The same thing, the second half of the Haftarah, is in Minig Ashkenazim, the Haftarah doesn't end and the middle keeps on going, that the baby died, Ben Isha and Shanam is died. So Elisha Navi sends Gehazi with his shteken, and he tells them, Chagor mos necho v'kach mishanti v'yodecho v'lech, kisim so ish, lo yisavachen. If you meet anybody on the way, don't have any conversation. If anybody greets you, don't say a word. Just put my shteken on the boy's face and it's going to be a miracle of Tchiyas HaMeisim. So the Medrash says, he was walking in the street and telling everybody, I'm going to do Tchiyas HaMeisim, the Rebbe Gehesen is going to do Tchiyas HaMeisim. So when he came, it didn't work. Nothing happened because he violated the instructions. Nothing happened because he didn't. How come it didn't happen? Because he violated the instructions. That's why he shouldn't be mefarshimim. He didn't want it to be mefarshimim in the nest. Like the first nest, with the shemen, pouring the shemen, he wanted that it should be betzina. He wanted this nest also to be betzina. That's why Elisha had to come himself and he had to put, he had to breathe. Pival pi, veinav aleinav, kapal al kapav, and he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the nest occurred and he accomplished the Tchiyas HaMeisim. That's how the Gemara says. The Rambam writes in the Gemara in the book that it wasn't a nest, that he just did the artificial, he just revived him. And the Achareinim ask on the Rambam, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says that he requested of Eliyahu Navi Pishnayim Beruchacha, that Eliyahu Navi, he got twice the Kerech HaNavi. Eliyahu Navi was Mechai one Meis, Elisha Navi was Mechai two Meis. And one of them was the Ben Isha Shanam. According to the tradition, the Gemara has, maybe there's some sources that say Fakir, that the Rambam is relying on, but according to the Gemara says that he made the Tchiyas HaMeisim. So you see in the Haftarah, the both stories, he wanted the nest to be the Tzina. There are two psukim that the Midrashim speak about. The one pasuk says, Kvoid Elokim Hester Dova. The other pasuk says, Kvoid Malachim Chakor Dova. Sometimes the Baruch Shalom didn't lease him in the floor, that would be Fahesia. And we have the Amsuk. As I'll say, the Kol Meimish Boilim was split, because the Baruch Shalom wanted to make a Kiddush Hashem. He wanted that to be a nest goal. But these Nisim were private Nisim. It wasn't for the whole Klal Yisrael, it wasn't for the whole world to teach something to the whole world. A nest. The woman had no money, so he wanted to make a nest. The Isha Shanamis had no baby. He wanted to make a private nest. There's no need to make a whole public demonstration of this. So here the din applies, that Kvod Elokim Hester Dov, this is supposed to be Bitsina. This theme seems to be alluded to in the Sedra as well, by the Parshas HaAkedah. So Avraham Avinu goes with Yitzchak with the two Norim, and it's very clear and obvious that they're going to go bring a korban. They're having a macheles and an eish and an eitzim. Obviously they're going to bring a korban somewhere, but they don't say about what kind of a korban. And then he says, Avraham Avinu tells them, Ani ma'anachal korban eshtachman eshvalechem, you stay over here and we're going to go bite them. So you could say the pshat, he was afraid to let them know he's going to bring a human sacrifice. That's what he was always preaching against, human sacrifice. Now he's going to violate everything that he stood for. Or you could say no, that this was an inyan of Kvod Elokim Hester Dova, that there are some mitzvahs that have to be done between, and some mitzvahs that have to be done before Hester. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk. How does the pasuk say?
Chamuk yirechayach kemoy chaloy. So the Gemara says,
V'yoyme de kala, once in a while you got to give a big shiur in public, like the Rav used to give a yard set. You have Madison Square Garden, you have 70,000 people asking you mashas once every 7.5 years, okay? Make a big pyramid, it's on the television and all the newspapers, yeah. But you don't have to daf yoyme every day on cable TV that everybody should listen. The Gemara says that the Betera should be given privately. You have more people, so you have a bigger room, but still, you shouldn't be. The Gemara says that Rebbe was angry when Rav Chiya gave the shiur in public, so he was mocked about that. Not supposed to give a shiur in public. Rav Chiya quotes a pasuk from Mishlei that says that you're supposed to give in public. So that goes yoyme the kala. Sometimes you have to have kroid malachim chakor dover, should be in public. And many times it's supposed to be kroid olikim hester dover. So the Gemara says, chamuki rechak kemoy chaloyim, that the Betera should usually be given the seiser, not in an outside, not an exposed place. It shouldn't be open to the public. So it could be that this is another theme that's shared in common between the Parsha and the Haftarah, that they both the two halves of the Haftarah together with the Parsha speak about certain mitzvahs that have to be done, dafke betzina, not to be done before Hesed. There are several other relationships also, perhaps is one of them. He forgot to mention that.
Yeah. He forgot to mention that he's a Mishpacha. pasuk, Kvod Malachim Chakar Dovah. Kvailus, no? Kvod Elohim Hester Dovah.
That's also a pasuk.
Yeah, both pasuk.
Maybe the other
pasuk. Okay. You have to know which pasuk applies to which case. So the Pesukim say by Dibre Torah, sometimes you want to have an Yom Medikali, you want to have Kvod Malachim and Chakar Dovah, you want to publish something. Most of the time, 99% of the time, Tevis is the Tevis.
The temperate belt gave to the Kanani.